Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Today is Next Steps Sunday. So if you have been thinking about joining the church, today is your day. So as soon as church is over in room 306, which is right up there out those doors, Pastor Nicole and I will be there to greet you. We have food, we have babysitting, so no excuses not to show up there. If you want to become a member this morning, please do so. I think it's going to be a good time. A lot of people are joining the church. It's a good thing. We love growth. Amen. Hallelujah. And not just joining, but getting involved. And that's even better. And that's one of the commissions as the church for us to get involved and do something besides hold the pews down. We already had that done. Chris Richards screws those down every week, so we don't need that done. So, hallelujah. It was supposed to be funny. Okay. All right. Well, today we are starting a new series. It's called Are We There Yet? And every kid has asked that question. Are we there yet? But this is more spiritual than physical. Are we there yet? And the subtitle of my message today is Citizens of a Heavenly Kingdom. Citizens of a Heavenly Kingdom. Do I sound really loud? Is it like going, woo, 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 woo? Okay, yeah, I'm sounding a little crazy, but okay, so you'll fix it. It's all the new sound system, amen, hallelujah. All right, but before I get into the citizenship part of the message, I want to go down memory lane with a history lesson. How many of you guys love history? I hated it at school. I flunked it at school, but I love it now. I don't understand how that is. When you get out of school, you're interested. And so I love reading about history. I didn't then. So if you didn't know, we live in the United States of America. And it is anything but united these days. I don't know where we're united, but it's not many places are united anymore in the United States of America. Now, I'm going to go somewhere with this, so I just want you to stay with me. We're probably going to go through Genesis all the way to Revelation and come somewhere back in the middle. So just be ready for that, all right? But anyhow, the definition of the United States of America is that we are a federal constitutional republic, is what it says. Now, I know as soon as I say that, some of you, or maybe not you, but other people will argue, oh, no, we're not. We're not a republic. We're a democracy. And you hear that all the time on television and other people stating that. But the thing is this, we are democratic. But we are not a democracy because the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. So therefore, we're still a republic. For how long? Who knows? They're trying to get rid of that as well. And then it's all going to go further south. But that's what we are right now. And now, if I take away that this is who we are, this is what America is, We are democratic, but we're not a democracy. We're still a republic. We have to go further than that. And that is this. Because of who we are is because of what happened back in 1776. Anybody remember that? That's right. The United States, in short, is only 248 years old if we go by the signing of the Declaration of Independence. That happened on July 4th, 1776. Thus the reason we celebrate, get days off, have fireworks, and have so much fun because of our independence. But if you paid attention in history class like I did not, I needed medicine, you would know that the Americans or the colonists, or they even called them the Patriots, rebelled against a kingdom. It's exactly what happened. The American Revolution was a rebellion against the Kingdom of Great Britain in 1775. And that rebellion was 8 years long. 8 years. 13 colonies threw off Britain's rule to establish the sovereign United States of America, a self-governing nation. And I know that probably some of our ancestors used to be from Great Britain, and some of us were probably under a kingdom. Your ancestors was set or ruled by a kingdom. I think it's kind of cool, but who knows? Maybe some of you know if you do your ancestry stuff. So, but okay, in order to have a kingdom, you must have a king. Yes, In a kingdom, there are no presidents. There are no elections. You can't vote him in or out. It's not a republic. It's not a democracy. And it's not a socialist government. There are no Congress, no Senates, and no parliament in a kingdom. Praise the Lord. It's the king's will. It's his purposes. It's his interests, his rules. And he makes all the laws considering all those things that he wants to happen and see within his kingdom. The king appoints his own leaders to take all the things that he puts into law and spread them throughout his territories. Within the territories, there are then colonies. A colony is a territory under the leadership of the kingdom. The greater the territory, the greater and more powerful the kingdom is. Once a kingdom would take over a territory, the king would send a governor to the territories to live in the territories. He would produce the culture of the kingdom into the territory that they took over. So in other words, he'd bring in their languages. He'd bring in the food that they liked, the dress or how they wore, what they did. He would bring all that and saturate that into the new colony that they took over. For example, let me give you an example of this because, again, I see things, so I want you to see this as well. In the island of Hispaniola in the Caribbean, that island is split between two countries, and you can see it right up there, Haiti and the Dominican Republic. Now, I did a kids' crusade and a lot of street witnessing in a town called Barahona. And Barahona is where it says Santa Cruz de Barahona. It's south of there, right on the ocean, is where I was in Barahona a few years ago. The island was split into two kingdoms, France and Spain. And the indigenous group of people that lived on the island were split between Haiti, a French-speaking country, and of course the Dominican Republic, a Spanish-speaking country. Those two kingdoms flooded that culture on the on those indigenous people who were native to the island. It changed everything it touched. Everything that kingdom touched changed what happened on that island. Now, when I was in the Dominican Republic, I saw no remains of the people who used to live there, nor did I hear any of the native languages. It was just all Spanish. As a matter of fact, the only thing I could recognize in English was the word pizza. And that was because it's spelled the same in Spanish. Even in the hotels, there was not one person that spoke English where I was. I really felt like I was a foreigner. And thank God for Wi-Fi so I could turn that in and go, yo, where's the bathroom? You know, oh, del baño, over there. Now, and even when I went out on the beaches were absolutely gorgeous in Barahona. Beautiful, but they were empty. Not one person was on the beaches. If that was America Beach, man, it would have been crowded all day. And when I walked out, even when I walked out on the beach and I started walking down, I looked behind me because I watch everything and I see the guard from the hotel start to follow me. And of course, when I got back to where I could get Wi-Fi, where I could ask him in Spanish, what are you doing? And he said, it's too dangerous here. I have to follow you everywhere. I was like, gotcha, I'll stay close to the resort. No, sorry about that. But that is what it was. It had changed everything. That kingdom took over and changed everything. Now, when we read the Bible, we find out that the Bible also talks about kingdoms. God bless you. We find out that in God's kingdom, Lucifer, son of the morning, said that he was going to exalt his throne above God's. We all read that, and you can find that in Isaiah, the 14th chapter, 12, all the way down through 21. And in doing so, God kicked him out of heaven. And so in Luke 10:18, and we'll prove this to you, Jesus said to his disciples that he saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven. And then in Revelation 9:1, it says, I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him, he was given the key to the bottomless pit. And then in Revelations 12:4, it says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. In Jewish literature, stars are called angels. Angels. And then Jesus said in John 14:30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming and he has nothing to do with me. Now, when Jesus cast out the demon-possessed blind and mute man, the Pharisees said to Jesus that he didn't do it, but that Beelzebub, the ruler of demons, did it. And of course, Jesus looked at them and said in Matthew 12:25 that every, what's that word? Kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So Satan's kingdom is where? Here on this earth. This is Satan's kingdom. Right here on this earth. He rules it. It's the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness. You know, as my kids were growing up, as they got a little older and they wanted to go to friends' houses or they wanted to be out with their dates and things like that, I had one statement that I always told every kid. Quentin, where are you at? What did I always say to you? Nothing good ever happens after midnight. So get your bahoochie home by midnight. I did. Lincoln will tell you, Alexis will tell you, I always said it. As a matter of fact, Nicole's dad said if she was out after midnight, he'd cut her car in half when it came home. Nothing good happens after midnight. Get home. Get home. Listen, the devil doesn't open up day clubs. He opens up night clubs. You know, and it's the kingdom of darkness. And if I had to go around the room, I could probably ask a lot of you, how much did you participate in the kingdom of darkness? And you'll be going, woo, yeah, I remember. Nothing good happened after midnight with me either. Thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Colossians 1:13 says, he, God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or brought us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Praise God. And then in Ephesians 5:11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful. In other words, it's not fruitful to be in the works of darkness, to do things in the devil's kingdom. It only hurts you and I. It's not fruitful. Just ask all those in prison right now. Just ask all those that are in the grave right now. Just ask all those that didn't make it out of the nightclubs or when they walked on the way home. It's not fruitful, and we should have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, it says right there. But rather expose them. We are to expose the darkness, not be a part of it. Right. I'm sure P. Diddy's thinking different right now, too. He's part of darkness. Look where he's at. Come on, somebody. All right. Satan's kingdom is also the kingdom of deception. The kingdom of deception. Now, he already has deceived the world. So who he's after is you and I. The devil loves to try to deceive Christians. Loves to try to deceive Christians. If you can't find, and I'm going to try to say this in a real nice way, a son-in-law way of Pastor Dosek, so more love. If you can't find a subject someone is talking about in the Bible, yet they claim it's God, turn the channel. Keep scrolling. Yeah. Delete that person. Yeah. That's very simple. Right, just let that sink in for a second here. but Pastor Randy, you got to realize that this was a pastor. This is a preacher. This is an evangelist. Who said this? It's amazing. He had a vision. Okay, scripture and verse. Scripture and verse, please.
He said that it was in the Bible. He did. Well, what book? Well, the book of Enoch. Nicole, would you please open up the Bible to the book of Enoch, please?
It's not here.
What?
It's not here.
Oh, there's no book of Enoch in the Bible?
Nope.
In the written word of God?
Nope.
So God made a mistake. And he forgot to put some things in the Bible that should have been in there. God, come on. I thought you were all everything. You were sovereign in every way. How did you forget to put that book in here? If it's not in there, run. Okay. Don't entertain it. Don't entertain it. There's no special bubble around preachers, pastors, or evangelists. Many have been deceived and gone astray. Many. If a pastor, evangelist, or preacher stands up and says, if your pastor isn't teaching on this or that, you need to find another place that somebody is, you also need to run. That's a red flag. That's strike three. Get out of the ocean because the riptide's coming for you. Am I okay? Yeah. I'm not being too harsh. People that say that type of stuff, listen, that's almost spiritual abuse. It really is. Coming from a leader, coming from a pastor. It's when someone uses their position or words to deceive, to manipulate, or humiliate others. This can include using God's word to control or damage someone. Run. If it's not here, run. Okay, Matthew 24:11, and I didn't put this down. I just got this morning, so I wrote it down. It says, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Guys, we have to stay teachable, stay pliable. Don't get offended. Endure, the Bible says. Remember, there's a wisdom and a multitude of counsel. And I'm thankful when people come to us and say, what do you think about this? I've heard this or I heard that. What do you think about it? Well, let's find out together about this. Let's look this up. And if I don't have the answer or Nicole don't have the answer, man, we'll find one. We'll figure it out. Because we don't have all the answers either. Hallelujah. We're going to do what? We're going to call counsel as well. That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? Okay, all right. Remember what day we are living in, the days of deception. Hallelujah. Even the very elect will be deceived. Okay. All right, so Satan's kingdom is also the kingdom of disease. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of division. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of death. And not just a physical death, but also a spiritual death. In the parable of the prodigal son, Jesus said in Luke 15:24, for this, my son was dead, but, hallelujah, he is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. That was a spiritual death. And then, of course, you look in, we see spiritual death right away in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. They weren't happy with the kingdom that God had set up on earth for them. They weren't happy with a certain law that he put into place. Genesis 2:17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Being deceived by the devil's kingdom, they said, well, we're going to taste for ourselves to see if it's good or evil. That's what they said. And we know what happened. They broke the king's law, the king's mandate, his will, and sin brought, brought sin into the world, was what they did, because they broke the king's law. God, the king, had set up a beautiful place, a kingdom, here on earth, for them to abide in and rule over and have dominion over. And they just couldn't do it because of deception of the devil. All throughout the Bible, after Adam and Eve sinned, we see the Bible talking about a king, a kingdom, and hallelujah, a royal family. God chose Israel to be that person, his people. In Deuteronomy 7:6, God says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." But in order to get Israel's attention, he had to show the power of the kingdom. And it's exactly what he did. He showed him the power first. He had to overthrow Pharaoh and get him to let his people go. So, of course, as we read, he sent the 10 plagues. The frogs, the lice, the flies, the locusts, turning, of course, the Nile River into blood. And that does remind me of something. That's one of the reasons why Pharaoh would not let his people go, because he was in denial. Okay. Just trying to keep you awake out there this morning. Hallelujah. All right. You know, and what else I think is interesting is, how in the world did those locusts know the difference between Pharaoh's farms and the Israel's farms and their crops? Wow. Amazing. Just sit and think about that all day. It's our God that we serve. After he got them away from Pharaoh and they became a free people, then he gave them the rules and how to live in his kingdom. That's what he did. God displayed his power first, then he delivered them, then he displayed his authority, and then established the laws of the kingdom after that. Now, when Eric and Pastor Rick and myself and others go overseas, like Eric was talking about this morning, and do crusades through PDM, that's exactly how we present the kingdom of God. We go into an area, we hold the crusade, we demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God by casting out demons, healing the sick, rebuking infirmities in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hallelujah, whose name is above every principality and power in Satan's kingdom. He has no power. And after the people are set free, after they are delivered, then we tell them that they can be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven by accepting King Jesus into their heart as their Savior forever. Amen. And you know what? As a result, thousands and tens of thousands of children and men and women give their heart to Jesus. We demonstrate the power first. Hallelujah. It's what he said to do. We're just following protocol. We're doing it how the kingdom does it. So Israel was God's king from the beginning. But the problem was, God was still and is still invisible. Every other nation had a visible king, and Israel wanted a visible king as well. The people of Israel rejected God. Can you believe this? Rejected God, who had rescued them from slavery, provided for them in the desert, and had given them the victory over all their enemies. He did it while he was invisible. Samuel warned the people that having such a king would not be good for the nation. He told them that the king's going to take all your sons, take all your daughters, take your land, take a tenth of the cross, a tenth of the sheep, all kinds of stuff. You don't want this. But in 1 Samuel 8:19, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge and go out before us and fight our battles." Isn't that what God already done? He did all that while he was invisible. Almost reminds me of some Christians today. Oh, that was a Pastor Dosek. I'm so sorry. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Love you. Okay. Not you guys. Okay. Okay. Here's the deal. It's dangerous when you want to be like everyone else, when you want to do things like the rest of the world wants to do them. God told Samuel to listen to the people and to appoint a king for them. And Samuel, of course, anointed Saul as the first king of Israel. And of course, it went bad pretty quick. And God told them that it would. And even while Saul was still king, God was so disgusted with Saul that he himself picked a second king for them. And of course, that was King David. All throughout the Old Covenant, you never hear about a president or a Congress or a republic or a democracy. Only kings and kingdoms. That's all we hear about. Remember in Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, Jesus shows up on the scene. And this is what's happening. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. Woo-hoo! The first message that John the Baptist and Jesus preached were the same message. John gets on the scene first, of course, and he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What was John saying? That salvation is coming. It's reachable. It's at hand. Get ready. Get your houses in order. Get your life right. That's what John was saying. And then Jesus comes on the scene and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." What was he saying? "I'm here." Prophecy fulfilled. They both taught the same message. Jesus started out his ministry the same way God demonstrated his power to Israel and the same way that we do it in our crusades. He displayed his power to the people first. He healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out demons, read people's mail, overcame Satan's temptations, did great miracles. He did all that. He was displaying the power of his kingdom and how it was more powerful, of course, than Satan's kingdom. Amen. The people saw the miracles, signs, and wonders with their own eyes, just as the children of Israel saw all the miracles, the 10 plagues, how they were on Pharaoh, but not on them, with their own eyes. Just how the people see us when we're out in the Crusades, the miracles, the signs, and wonders with their own eyes. After Jesus displayed his power, then he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. Talk to us about the lifestyles of the kingdom. In Matthew 10, he gives us the mission of the kingdom. In Matthew 13, the growth of the kingdom. Matthew 18, the community of the kingdom. Matthew 24 and 25, he talks about the future of the kingdom. Jesus displayed his power first. He delivered them. Then he displayed his authority and established the laws of the kingdom and explained kingdom living to everyone. And of course, then after Jesus died and rose from the dead, until he went to heaven, guess what he talked about? Ice cream at Dairy Queen. Oh, I need one. Man, I've been... The kingdom! He's all about the kingdom! When we give our life to Jesus by asking him to forgive us of our sins and to be a savior of our lives, we begin to take on a God's kingdom type of culture. He washed our sins away. Thank God. He wiped out our pasts. All things are now new. We are not a Democrat. We are not a Republican or an independent. We become a citizen of God's kingdom. That's what we become. A part of the royal family of God. Look around at all the other royals sitting beside you. Woo! Hallelujah! Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." We become kingdom-minded. We now obey his laws, his ordinances. Excuse me, it's his will and not ours anymore. We come under the covering of the king and his kingdom. Hallelujah, he protects us now. Isn't that amazing? The benefits of becoming a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is even ours while we're on this earth. Amen. That's a blessing. Hallelujah. Even though we live in this world, we are no longer supposed to be part of it. John 17, 14 says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." See, guys, you're hated. You're hated because you're part of a kingdom, the kingdom of God. You're going to lose friends because you're part of a kingdom. But look what you gain. Come on, look around. You gain a royal family who thinks like you, acts like you, maybe eats like you, dresses like you. All part of the kingdom, the culture. And to top it all off, as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you and I do not belong to ourselves any longer. Say what? You know, Nita, you don't belong to yourself. You know that? John, sorry, bro. You're not your own anymore. You're not your own. No, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says this. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You don't know this, that you're not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is whose? God. Say it like you mean it.
God.
We are God's. We're not our own. We're His. Eric and I will be going to the Ivory Coast next month for a crusade, and I will have to have my passport, of course. It will let that government know where I am from and where my citizenship is. How many of you guys have passports? A lot of you guys have passports. Great. Awesome. Come with us. Let's get more saved, more healed, more set free and delivered. Hallelujah. Sit in that airplane for 24 hours. Did you know that those passports that you have do not belong to you? They are not yours. You paid for them. Your picture's in them. All your private information is in them. But they are not yours. Take a look. On page 5, I do believe it is, page 5, the second paragraph reads, "This passport is the property of the United States." Wow. Yeah, go home and read it today. It doesn't belong to you. They'll come in, knock your door down, and take that thing whenever they want to. It's not yours. Just like your body is not yours. Hallelujah. Are you okay? All right. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, we abide by a different set of rules. The rules are found, of course, in this book, the Biblia, as they say in Africa. The Biblia. Everything is found right here. We have been bought with a price, and we are under a different set of rules. The rule book tells us what we should do in every area of our life, just like it does in the kingdom. Just like when the ambassador comes and sets the guidelines and the rules. Here's ours for being a citizen of heaven. It tells us how to pray. Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, which is our home country. Woohoo! Hallowed be your name. God, you're set apart. You're not like anybody else. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever heaven is like, we are to pray it for the earth. We are to pray it down here. We should want heaven's culture here with us. Now, I know that the election is coming up and some of us want to pray, "Let your party come," instead of "Let your kingdom come." I get it. But here's the deal. What is more important, a heavenly kingdom or an earthly kingdom?
Heaven.
It's simple questions. What's more important, a heavenly impact or an earthly impact? A heavenly impact, of course. So much more important. What's more important, what God can do or what man can do? Simple questions. Now, don't get me wrong. I like cheap gas, $1.99 milk, 2% interest rates, a closed border like every other country in the world has. Our Second Amendment rights protected. Me feeling safe when I walk out my door. I want all those things. I do. Just like you. But we should be more concerned about the will of God's kingdom and not as much about the will of man's kingdom. Mm-hmm. What's God culture saying? What does the Bible say about how we should live? I just opened up the Bible and I was like, let's just see what God says about something. And I went to Romans 13:8 and it says, owe no one anything except to love one another. So then I looked at man's culture and I looked at where I live in the good old United States of America. And our federal government is in debt to our creditors $35 trillion as of last month. Okay, wow. I don't think the United States is going to be the lender and not the borrower anytime soon. But in kingdom's culture, he tells us to be the lender and not the borrower. I think I'd rather go with, yeah, kingdom culture than man's culture. Someday, whoever we owe this to, whether it's China or whoever, they're going to come knocking and they're going to want something. I suggest you don't move to Texas. They might just take it. I don't know. We are to do what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first, pursue, focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Through the cross and what Jesus did for us brought us into kingdom citizenship. Thank God. We represent the kingdom of God. We are his citizens who are not our own any longer. We are under his covering. We flourish like palm trees, the Bible says, as citizens. And of course, in a hurricane, that's the only thing left standing is a palm tree. We flourish like the palm trees, the Bible says. Hallelujah. 1,000 may fall at our right side, 10,000 at our left, but you as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven will not be touched. Praise God. That's the promises. Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our King is responsible for our lives now. We are dependent on our King Jesus. And the last scripture I say is this, Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, don't worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. See, Jesus is saying that I'll supply the water. Our government is saying, I'll give you the water bill. You see the difference? God's kingdom, not man's kingdom. Hallelujah. When the kingdom of heaven came to the earth, it changed everything it touched. Everything it touched. Just like it does when a kingdom takes over a territory. If you will allow Jesus today to touch your life, you will be changed as well. If you allow him to touch you, allow him to take control of your life, surrender to him, your life will be changed. It will never be the same again. Amen? Everybody stand up this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know when he touched me at 7 years old, I stopped stealing candy bars at the supermarket. True story. True story. Yeah. My life changed. I thank God for my parents. I thank God I was raised in a Christian home. They loved God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, did the best that they could in raising us two brothers and my sister. They did put God first. They did think about his kingdom. They had a godly mindset and not an earthly mindset. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here where I am today. Somebody in our life had some sort of godly influence that we looked up to. We said, wow, something is totally different about them. What's going on? Why are they shining? Why are they so happy? I saw what just happened to them. What's happening? They allowed God to change their life. They said, I am not mine any longer. I belong to you, God. I belong to part of the royal family. And now we are under his kingship. Hallelujah, under his protection. Thank God, the blood of Christ has set us free, delivered us, kept us from harm and danger. Because when the devil sees us, all he sees is the blood. Woohoo! Amen. And if you want to be part of this kingdom, you've never been part, I extend an invitation to you this morning. If you would love for Jesus to be part of your life, I'd like you to come on down. Come on down. And we're going to pray with you if you're out there. You already know who you are because he's already talking, been talking. Maybe not even just today, but he's been talking for a while. This is your chance. Come on, we live in the last day, guys. Live in the last days. Deception is everywhere. His kingdom is here, and he wants you to be a part of it. I don't beg, I don't bow, I don't do anything because I know where I'm going. Anybody at all, say, hey, Pastor Andy, come on, that's me, I'm coming. Be part of the royal family. Anybody? Anybody at all? On three, one, two, three. Okay, all right. How many of you are part of God's kingdom? Raise your hands. All right, okay. Randy, I didn't see your hand raised, brother. Come on down, we'll lay hands on you. Foul devil, you come out. Jesus, hallelujah. Frank Cardone, you can come and lay hands on him with me. Praise God, I know. Jesus loves us so much. We're the light of the world. We're part of the kingdom. I hear so many amazing testimonies every day, every week, of how you're witnessing to people. Hallelujah, we are becoming that culture. Jesus went everywhere, preaching the gospel, talking to people. And we're becoming that invite culture too. I'm so proud of y'all. People are coming. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. People are still getting healed, set free, and delivered. All part of his kingdom. And you're all part of it. And we love you so much. And we're going to pray you out of here this morning. But I want all of our prayer teams to come up here and sit here. If you guys have prayer, you need anything, our prayer teams are here. They're for you. We'll pray for you. And God will do something for you because it's his nature. It's what he wants to do. It's who he is. Where's our other prayer teams? I know where they're coming. All right, they're coming up here. So we're going to pray. And if you need prayer for anything when we're done, just come on up. We'll pray. If you decide, hey, you know what? I want to receive Jesus. Then, you know, we've had him a lot of times. It happens afterwards. It's okay. God will still take you. We still love you. Father, we come before you today. I thank you for the word that was brought forth today. God, I thank you for your power, demonstrating your power to the world. I thank you that hearts receive you. I thank you for what you're doing as kingdom citizens in our lives. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, for blessings as a kingdom citizen. God, I thank you for peace in our lives as kingdom citizens. Oh, Father, I thank you for favor everywhere we go as kingdom citizens. Everywhere we tread, every place we put our foot, it's blessed. Hallelujah, because we are kingdom citizens. Help us, Father, as we go out this week to show our kingdom citizenship to the lost. As we witness, as we talk to, as we sow seeds, Lord God, I thank you, Father. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are us. Thank you for the opportunity to do what we do in this world. Now, I thank you for blessing everybody under the sound of my voice this week. I thank you for hearts being changed this week. I thank you, lives being touched. As we touch others, their lives will be touched and changed as well. Thank you for a good week, Lord, a prosperous week, Father. We give you praise for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. We love you guys. God bless you all. We'll see you Wednesday night.